Well, thank you. So I'm going to talk about biochar and its effect on organic compounds. What is biochar? Well, if you haven't heard about it lately, I'll define it. It's a coined term for various carbonaceous byproducts of pyrolysis technologies. We're hoping to be able to convert biomass into fuels. It seems to have turned away from that, and people have their eyes on other applications. One of the recognized values of biochar is that it constitutes a form of sequestered carbon because it's stable. And so this is looked upon by people as being a possible way to contribute to the mitigation of climate change. And also, it has been shown in many cases, though not all, to be a beneficial soil amendment for reasons which aren't entirely clear at this point. So chars now are typically powerful adsorbents of organic compounds that can reduce their bioavailability in soil, and that's the reason we're studying it. The structure of biochar, there isn't a biochar, but what they have in common is that they're made of these graphene platelets, maybe 10 to 20 fused rings, surrounded by oxygen functional groups, particularly carboxyl. And these form short stacks, which aggregate in a disordered fashion, forming a micropore network. And this high microporosity is responsible, or at least one of the factors responsible, for the strong adsorptive properties of biochar and other black carbons. Well, as you all know, there are numerous organic chemicals that are involved in agricultural activities. We have the pesticides and herbicides, but also contaminants that can be introduced into agricultural soils, antibiotics and hormones from animal wastes, chemicals in sewage sludge, and then in some cases there are legacy pesticides that are still lurking in the soil. And so we're interested in how, if biochar is used as a soil amendment, how they will affect the bioavailability of these. And also, more importantly, I think, than these contaminants, is the natural plant signaling chemicals, the allelochemicals, and other chemicals that involve plants, microbes, insects in some cases. And these chemicals are being discovered to be essential to crop health, many crops. So a prerequisite to the broad-scale employment of biochar as a soil amendment, and I might add here that biochar is, in order to really affect the physical properties, has to be added at something on the order of percent levels to soil. So a prerequisite to the broad-scale use of biochar as a soil amendment is a complete assessment of its impact on the bioavailability of all agriculturally important organic compounds. So we have, this is all preliminary data that I'm showing here. We have are endeavoring to take a look at a number of model systems. One is the uptake of historic residues of legacy insecticides by zucchini, which turns out to be one of the most efficient at taking up contaminants from soil, hydrophobic contaminants. Another project we have going is on the toxicity of juglone, which is a well-known allelochemical from walnut trees, and it's quite toxic to a number of plants. We're using tomatoes as a model. And then on the beneficial effects of plant mycorrhizal signaling processes that impact asparagus, and I'll get into that in more detail later. And finally, on the bioavailability of the swine antibiotic sulfamethazine, this compound is of concern because it could induce antibiotic resistance through horizontal gene transfer to soil bacteria. So the commercial biochars we've looked at so far are two. We have others on slate. One is the Dynamotive Energy Systems Corporation product. It's produced by fast pyrolysis at 400 to 500 degrees from hardwood sawdust, I believe, and it's about 70.5% carbon. The other one is from Best Energies, and this is also from hardwood, but it's produced by a slow pyrolysis method from wood chips at 600 degrees, and it has quite a bit more carbon, 91.6% carbon. The two soils we looked at are just soils on our site, so we can do both field and greenhouse experiments on a large scale. In some locations on these two sites, they are contaminated with chlorinated insecticides. So first let me show the uptake of contaminants by zucchini and the effect of biochar addition. This is the Dynamotive biochar. And in two cases, we show that the uptake of these chemicals by zucchini is suppressed with increasing amounts of biochar addition. From 0.1 to 1 to 10% biochar, we observe a decrease in the concentration of residues in shoots and roots of DDE and also of chlordane in all cases. Unfortunately, as you get to the higher concentrations of biochar, you start adversely affecting the crop yield. I'm not showing that data right now. Another example is the effect of biochar on mitigating the juglone toxicity to tomatoes. In this case, again, Dynamotive biochar was added at 3.5 weight percent. And when it's added, it improves the yield and reduces damage to seedlings in the presence of juglone, but not to the level of the control. It turns out that had we used the other char, we probably would have seen better results because it is more strongly sorptive. But here you can see the control, the tomato weights, and this is the classical juglone toxicity. And when you add biochar plus juglone, you reduce the toxicity, but you don't recover the weight up to the level of the control. And the same goes for the damage index, stunting and wilting. The third example has to do with the effect of biochar on plant mycorrhizal signaling processes. Allele chemicals from asparagus, these phenolic acids interfere with beneficial plant mycorrhizal signaling processes, causing stunting of growth and promoting fusarium wilt disease in later plantings. And so this gives rise to the known effect of crop residue on asparagus, that it's self-inhibitory and it's harder to grow asparagus the next season on the same plot. So with dose now, we found that the Dynamotive biochar reduces disease. There's a percent root disease here with increasing biochar in soil, and it increases yield. Here's the fresh weights. And it not only that, but it promotes mycorrhizal colonization. Even in the soil untreated with allele chemicals, we see a beneficial effect of adding the biochar. We're not really sure why that is, but the biochar somehow promotes mycorrhizal colonization on the roots, which is a good thing for the plant. The last example is sulfamethazine, and as you probably know, most of these sulfa antibiotics are excreted in unaltered or conjugated forms, and this poses a threat with respect to horizontal gene transfer for antibiotic resistance to soil bacteria. We're working on that aspect of the project, but I'm not going to talk about today. Now, concentrations of antibiotics in the manure and soil are thought to provide pressure to select for growth and horizontal gene transfer if it occurs. as well as the long-term stability of resistant strains. So the very fact that you have these sulfa drugs in contact with the soil could promote this process. And we hypothesized that the bioavailability of the antibiotic would be reduced by the addition of biochar. And we haven't done any field soil experiments yet, but what we have done is looked at the adsorption by biochars. And so here's a compound. It exists as a cation neutral molecule or anion, depending on pH. And the neutral molecule is not the Zwitter ion. It's the neutral, fully neutral molecule. You know, in the normal pH range, it's neutral. And so what we found was that sulfamethazine adsorption is strongly dependent on a biochar source. And you look down here, and this is quite amazing. The KD for the biochar is the log KD is more than four log units lower in the case of the dynamotive biochar than in the case of the best energy biochar. That's four orders of magnitude, more than four orders of magnitude different KDs. Quite remarkable. These are all done at very low concentrations, so isotherms are roughly linear down there. For reference here, we have the KOW of only 0.27, so this is not a very hydrophobic compound, and yet the neutral form is adsorbing tremendously strongly to this this biochar. It's quite amazing, six orders of magnitude greater adsorption coefficient to the biochar than partitioning in octanol water. And comparing it with log KOC, the soil organic carbon partition coefficient, we see that in one case, the biochar should never compete very well with ordinary organic carbon. But in the other case, it will be a powerful adsorbent compared to ordinary organic carbon. The other thing we've done is look at the adsorption as a function of pH, and we found some interesting results that I wanted to convey today. So, like I said, it exists as a cation neutral and anionic form, and here is our log KD as a function of pH going from 1 up to 10. And you can see that the neutral molecule appears to absorb the strongest. However, the cation and the anionic forms adsorb you know, almost as well. We're only talking a factor of 10 here when you're talking a KD of roughly a million. It's not a big deal. Now if you look down here, the neutral, you'll see that we have adsorption extending, you know, strong adsorption extending way into the cationic and anionic range. And what we've done is fit this data to a model, which just is the sum of the KDs for the particular species times the fraction of that species in aqueous solution, according to the speciation model. And so you can see that the fit is quite good. Now, one thing I have to point out here is that the KDs for the anions and for the anion and the cation are qualified if they are due to ion exchange on the surface. Then really, this KD is equal to an intrinsic KD times a concentration of sites, which in turn could be pH dependent. But nevertheless, let's look at these KDs. So we have KD for the neutrals is 6, the log KD. For the cation, it's 5.5. For the anion, it's 4.9. Now, I would have expected these numbers to be way lower than that. If we look at the KOWs, and this citation here did a very careful study of the octanol water partition coefficients of the different species, and we see that that they are lower than for the neutral, of course. But now what we can do here, you see, because the KOW represents a hydrophobic effect, and the hydrophobic effect contributes to the sorption and is independent of the intrinsic activity, the intrinsic interaction with the surface. If we normalize by KOW, we've normalized out for this hydrophobic effect. And when we do that, we find that the cation and the anion actually absorb, they have an intrinsically higher affinity for the surface. And that's given by this upper curve here. You can see, so this represents the normalized for hydrophobic effect curve. And you can see that it's greater for the cation and the anion. I find that interesting, and I'm not sure what the explanation is. So in conclusion, biochar may reduce plant uptake of hazardous chemicals such as legacy pesticides and antibiotics. Biochar may reduce allelochemical activity in soil, reducing or perhaps increasing the stress on crops, depending on whether your allelochemical activity is beneficial or harmful to the crop. And finally, biochar may reduce antibiotic concentration in soil, potentially mitigating horizontal gene transmission. And with that, I'll leave my acknowledgments.
Any questions for Dr. Pinkstell? Yes.
So you said the biochar additions helped increase colonization of mycorrhizae?
Yes. Well, we believe, we believe that the allelochemicals are not toxic to the plant, but that they interfere with the plant mycorrhizal signaling. So, our hypothesis was that if you added biochar in the presence of allelochemicals, you would, help promote mycorrhizal colonization, and indeed we see that down here, but we also see that in the untreated soil we have promoted mycorrhizal colonization. So I'm not sure our hypothesis is the only, I'm not sure it's invalid, but I'm not sure it's the only thing that's happening.
Any other questions?
Yeah, we're looking into that. They have greatly different surface areas, and we've also looked at the sorption of another compound to them, and indeed the sorption of the other compound, which is a neutral compound at all pHs, is much lower for the dynamotive. So yeah, I mean this is a fundamental question: is what's the difference between those two? Well, the best energies char, the one that sorbs sulfamethazine so strongly, has very little oxygen. I mean, it's 92% carbon and 2 or 3% ash, so it doesn't have much oxygen. The oxygen it has is probably carboxylate, so it probably does have some cation exchange capacity. But
if we could hold. Questions till the break and our speakers. So let's thank Dr. Pignatello again.